Hebrews 11:11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because... Now you see here, verse 11 says, through faith Sarah received strength to conceive seed. And he says, now here's the because. If people are able to enter into this place called faith, there's a because. If people are held out of faith, there's a because. Sarah entered into faith herself. Isn't that interesting? Herself. Abraham's mentioned over and over in the New Testament, even the Old Testament, as a man of faith. And he obviously believed God and took steps and, you know, left his homeland, go where God said he was going to give him. He said, I'll show you. You just get going. I'll show you. He promised him a child. He promised him a land. He promised him many, many things. And Abraham was a man of faith. He believed God and got into all that. But we sometimes don't think about Sarah was there with him. And it wasn't just Abraham when it come to receiving strength to have that child, that baby. You know, Isaac was born of Sarah's womb. Isaac was born of Abraham and Sarah, not through Hagar. Remember Abraham's plan. But this happened through Abraham and Sarah. And they were past age of having children, and she hadn't had children when she was a child. I mean, when she was a young girl, a young lady. And so, but the point here is, I was reading this and this stood out to me. Sarah, through faith, Sarah also herself. Do you know, she had Abraham there to believe God with her. But do you know, if somebody's not there with you, that you can do it yourself? We sometimes need and want the help of others, and we thank God for the help of others. We ought to be there for one another. But listen, if somebody's not, don't get all miffed at God and miffed at them and upset and, you know, offended and fighting and bickering. That'll just get you further away from receiving yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no one who can't receive from God themselves. Sometimes people don't, but there's no one that can't. Otherwise, God would be unjust. Hallelujah. So are you still out there? She had Abraham together with her, but there were some things apparently that she did herself. And one of the things must have been what it says here was concerning her own body. It says that she herself received strength to conceive seed. I'm sure Abraham was there to say, yeah, I'm in agreement with you and so forth. But there was some things she must have taken on sort of herself just between her and God. You know, and that was God honored her faith. She received strength. That's her body responding to her own faith. And she received strength herself, apparently, to get this power working in her body for what she needed. Hallelujah. You know, if you're in a big test or trial, big heavyweight kind of thing, a big, you know, attack against your life, it's best and good to have the right people around you. That's God's best. God wants us to help one another. But David, it was in a place in the Old Testament where he didn't have, because he came back from a battle, and he remembers Ziklag, his hometown, was destroyed, and all the enemy army had come in and taken all their wives, all their families, all their children, burnt the city, took their goods out of their houses. And the army that came back with David was all upset and crying, and you can understand, I mean, their families are gone and so forth. And they talked about stoning David. So David was all alone. Nobody's in faith with him. And the Bible said he sought the Lord his God and encouraged himself. Oh, you can do it, friend. You might say, I got nobody. Well, you got him. You got him. And you can come to the throne of grace and tap into what you need yourself. Hallelujah. Now, all the rest of us should be very, very careful about judging people who don't receive. Amen. Are you still out there? Romans 2, 1 and 2 says that, in fact, go over there. I thought I was going to go just kind of get past this real quick, but let's slow down a little bit. Romans 2, notice chapter 2, 1 and 2. Chapter 2 of Romans, verses 1 and 2. It says, Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. Talking about judging somebody else. For wherein thou judgest another, somebody else. You're critical of them. You're judging them. He said, you're condemning yourself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. We are sure that the judgments of God, or the judgment of God, is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgments of God. Yeesh. Amen. To criticize somebody and say, well, you should trust God and not do this or not do that, get some help in other ways, is dangerous ground. I didn't say so. The Bible said so. Very, very dangerous. I don't know, maybe mid-90s, something like that. Pastor Dave, we were traveling full-time. We had left healing school at Kenneth Hagin Ministries. We were full-time traveling. In fact, for a period of time, we let our apartment go and didn't even, because we weren't home much. Bad idea. I'm not suggesting that to anybody. We came home and stayed with friends. Terrible idea. It's not good for the marriage. So I'm not suggesting that, but I'm just talking about how much we were gone. I mean, we'd be gone for 6-8 weeks at a time, come home, and there's a new car dealership there off the exit, which wasn't there when we left. You know, I guess we've been gone a while. But we were traveling a lot, and Pastor Debbie had a toenail situation kind of flare up, and it was real painful, an ingrown toenail. And she said, I just have it in my heart to go get it cut out, you know. And I got critical of her. Not proud of this, but I'm just telling you the truth. Got critical of her and said, well, you ought to believe God. You know, believe God. We don't have the money for going and getting it cut out. We didn't have insurance. You know, I'm not promoting that either. I'm not suggesting that. Amen. And I was shooting for God's best. I thought she should, you know, shoot for God's best, but God had already put it in her heart to have an operation, to have it cut out. But I was trying to tell her what to do, and finally she said something to me I've never forgotten. She said, it's my body, not yours. I said, you know what, that's right. That's right. I said, that's right. I'm going to stand before the Lord about criticizing her. And she's going to have to stand before the Lord with where she walks with God. Somebody said, well, you know, she should have gotten God's best and gone for God's best. Yeah, just like you every time. Get God's best. Anybody come short of God's best? Huh? So I judged her and criticized her, and she said, I'm going to get it cut out. Well, I reluctantly took her. And, you know, really wasn't that, I wasn't that nice about it. But it wasn't, how long was it, honey? 3 weeks, 3 months, something. I don't remember how long it was. I got an ingrown toenail. And I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to believe God. He said, you are not. Now listen to me. The Lord said to me, you go get it cut out. Because I'm not going to live with this thing. I'm going to do something. He said, you go get it cut out. I said, well, Lord, I know your words. And he said, no, you criticized your wife, and you really haven't repented for it. Go get it cut out. So I had to go get it cut out. Boy, that'll humble you. That's exactly what Romans 2, 1 through 3 said. You're guilty of the same thing. I was judging her for not obtaining God's best in an area of her life, and I was guilty of the same thing, not getting God's best in areas of my life. But yet being critical of somebody else. He said, in those verses you do that, you're going to have to go through the same thing. Smith Wigglesworth one time was ministering healing to some people, and somebody, I don't know if it was right in the congregation or after the service or something, said, well, Smith, you're wearing spectacles. They called them spectacles back then. You know, you have to look at your Bible reading through spectacles. Why don't you receive your healing? Because you're a healing preacher, you know. Big old tears came up and rolled down his cheeks. He said, the reason that I haven't received my healing for my eyes, he said, was because I judged my niece for having glasses. And the Lord said, you're going to have to wear glasses the rest of your life. Dangerous. Huh? Y'all be still happy they came this morning? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're failing in some area too. You're coming short in some area too. You ever heard it takes one to know one? There's a lot of truth in that statement. A lot of truth in that statement. According to these verses, we judge somebody else of failing or coming short and not receiving what they should have received from God. According to these verses, we are guilty of the same. You believe the Bible? Look at it. Look at it. Thou art inexcusable, O man, whatsoever thou art, or whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. Somebody said, I believe the Bible cover to cover. You better believe that one then. Cover to cover means if I'm judging somebody else, I'm guilty of the same thing. I might not think so. I might think I'm the best thing since sliced bread when it comes to receiving from God. But you're guilty according to the Bible. You're guilty. You judge somebody else, you're guilty of the same thing. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. But there are times. Now, when it comes to receiving from God ourselves, notice Sarah here. She received this apparently on her own. We have record that Abraham was there with her. He wasn't fussing with her or anything, apparently. But she must have focused in on her own body herself. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed She received strength in her body. Now, here's the reason why. Because. Do you see that? Because. Why? She judged him faithful that promised. Judged God faithful. Oh, how much time you got this morning? Judged God faithful. Hallelujah. This is what put her in the chapter. This is what got her own verse. Sarah has her own verse. Amen. She judged God faithful. Amen. Every person on this planet is judging God something. Everybody. Some are judging Him not existent. Some are judging Him as just He just does whatever He wants. He just heals some and doesn't heal others. Everybody's judging Him something. I've chosen, even when I don't understand things sometimes. Anybody ever gone through a situation where you didn't understand what was going on? Why it didn't turn out the way you thought it should, wanted it to, prayed, thought you were believing God, but it just wasn't turning out? Anybody ever gone through something like that? At a time like that, the devil wants to jump on your head and start putting thoughts in your mind. God didn't come through for you. God was unfaithful. God didn't respond to your prayer. You were believing Him and He didn't come through. He wants you to take those thoughts, because those thoughts are a road that the bridge is out. It's a road to nowhere. Every person on this planet is judging God something, whether right or wrong. They're judging Him faithful. They're judging Him unfaithful. They're mad at Him. They're miffed at Him. They say, you didn't come through. And some people just do it silently. They won't say anything. But you talk to them about church and they're like, nope. They don't tell you why. But they have judged God as having hurt them, that he didn't do what they thought that he should have done. Can you say amen? But how we judge him determines our position with him. And it determines whether we receive or not. One of the most foolish things you can do. Don't do this. Nobody foolish here, right? Is you can get mad at the only one who can really help you. Get miffed. Tell him you're not going to serve him. I'm mad. I'm offended. God, you're unfaithful. Dumb to the dumb degree. Amen. Some folks judge God unfaithful, and how's that working out for them? Amen. But the enemy's propagating this. He's pushing this. He's peddling this. That's the reason people, when something doesn't work out the way they thought it should, they thought they were believing God, and something doesn't work out, that's the reason the first thing they think was God failed some way. Them, infallible people as they are, and not knowing everything. Why is it their first thought is God failed? And they never have the thought, well, we didn't maybe understand how to receive. We didn't maybe know everything we need to know. We need, maybe, possibly, it was on our end. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because the devil's peddling that kind of unbelief. He's accusing God's character. He's not just accusing God of not having the power. You don't hear many people say God doesn't have the power. But you hear multitudes saying he doesn't care. He won't do it for everybody. He's not faithful to heal everybody. He heals some and not others. They're judging his character. Because the devil's pushing that. He wants people to doubt God's character. He wants people to believe he's not good. That he's not fair, that he's not faithful, that he won't do what he said in his word. He wants all people to believe all that. He wants them full of unbelief. Come on. Hello. People a lot of times don't say it, but they have implications. And they'll say things like, well, where was God? If you analyze that, it wasn't just a question. It was an accusation. You can ask God questions in humility and in faith and not displease him, but you can ask him arrogantly and accusatively and with your fist sort of. Maybe you don't even raise your fist, but you're angry at him. Inside, you're miffed. You understand what I'm talking about? You're accusing him of being unfaithful. Guess what? Well, you will not receive going down that lane. You will not receive what you want. Sarah received because she judged him faithful. You need to make a decision today. The last breath I take in this life, I will still count you faithful. Whether I understand everything or not. We're here at Spirit of Faith Family Church to keep instructing people how to walk by faith. But it's a process. That we continue to progress towards knowing how to walk by faith, walk with God by faith, receive all the time, victory all the time. But according to John chapter number 15, really the whole chapter, that you can see very carefully, if you read it very carefully, you can see plainly, he talks about bringing forth fruit. Actually, he starts first of all talking about no fruit. Then he talks about bringing forth fruit. Then he talks about bringing forth more fruit. That's three. Then he talks about bringing forth much fruit. That's four. And then much fruit that remains. That's five. There's five different levels of fruit bearing mentioned in John 15 where he talks about the vine and the branches. Abiding in me, you remember? Stay connected to me and you'll bring forth fruit. Well, why the different levels of fruit bearing mentioned there? You can read it for yourself. There's five different levels. You got to go all the way down to 16 to get the last one. Verse 16. But you can find five different levels. Why? He mentions in, what is it, verse 2, verse 3, somewhere right in there. He said that you are clean. He said, everyone that brings forth fruit, he purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. People read that, they stop, get their box of hankies, and say, that's right, God's putting me through this test and trial, so I'll bring forth more fruit. No, read the next verse. The purging is not a test or a trial. The purging, let's read it, go over there. Go over, turn to it, look at it. Look at it, I'm trying to get, I got so much in my heart this morning. Look at John 15. Don't take a long time because we're going to move quickly here. John 15, he talks about bringing forth no fruit. And then verse number, you don't have to get over here. Verse number 2, is it? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Isn't that right? We could read that and not understand what the purging is all about, but read verse 3. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. The very exact same Greek word translated purge in verse 2 is translated clean in verse 3. Very same. He's talking about the exact same thing. And so when he says purge in verse 2, it's through the word. Verse 3, it's the cleansing of the word, the washing of the way we think, the forming of right beliefs through the word of God that brings us. Notice he said, verse 3, you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Now verse 2 says, he cleans us through the word that we may bring forth more fruit. So why the different stages of fruit bearing? The amount of washing of the word we've received. There's times I've failed to receive God's best. But I didn't blame God. I didn't shake my fist at him. I found out that road does that the bridge is out down there. That's a spiral downward. I didn't accuse him. I didn't act like it was on his end. I said, well, Lord, help me. Teach me. There's obviously some things I've got to understand. Let me say something to you about when you pray that prayer. He will do it. But you might not understand within a year or 2 years, depending on how quickly you grow. You could, your three-year-old child could be whatever. Let's take anything. They're trying to do it, and they're just messing it up. They saw you do it, and they thought they could do it, and they don't understand all that you understand about doing it. Maybe it's tying a shoe or something, whatever. And they're all excited about doing it, but you see everything they're not doing, so it's not working. The shoelaces are getting in a big knot. Just pick anything. Brushing their teeth, brushing their hair, whatever. Three-year-olds might know a little about that, but younger ones, you know. Isn't that right? Yeah. And they get frustrated because they don't know why it's not working out. Do you know you could tell them, but they still might not understand what you're talking about. Right? So you might have to wait a little while. And that's the way God is. You might say, God, why? I don't understand. And then you humble yourself and say, Lord, help me. Teach me. And somebody said, well, he hasn't said anything. Well, just keep growing. I'll tell you what will happen eventually. He'll point it out and he'll show it to you and you'll go, oh, of course. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Of course. Why not? Yeah. And as soon as he shows it to you and you see it, the first thing you'll realize is, if he had tried to tell me that back there whenever I first asked him, I wouldn't have understood it. You know, a three-year-old can ask you about calculus, but it's no use you really even trying to talk about it. Isn't that right? Same thing true spiritually. But in that season, don't get all miffed at him. That's the point. Don't judge him unfaithful. According to verse 11, Hebrews 11:11, this is the reason some Christians are always weak physically. Huh? They judge him unfaithful. If Sarah judged him faithful and received strength, what will happen if we judge him unfaithful? Well, we won't receive strength. We have to stay on God's side. That's something that is a simple little phrase that we use. Stay on God's side, but it is huge. Don't ever side in against God, accusing Him, judging Him. Stay on God's side, and He'll get you to where you need to go if you stay humble and teachable. Praise the Lord. It takes time to renew the mind. It takes time to build faith. Are you still there? You can miss God by 1,000 miles because you thought and believed wrong. A couple of references, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11. This was whenever Naaman came to the prophet Elijah to be healed. 2 Kings 5, 11, because Naaman was from another country, and he heard about it because there was a little maiden girl in his house that they had captured in one of their attacks against Israel that told him about the prophet Elijah's ministry and how he had a healing ministry and so forth. So Naaman came for healing. He had leprosy. He was a military guy, high up in the military, I believe it was the Syrian army, was it? And so he came, and the prophet didn't come out. He didn't lay hands on him. He didn't pray for him. He just sent his servant out and said, go dip in the muddy River Jordan, and you'll be healed. He got mad at that. Remember that story? And the Bible said that he said, surely I thought that he would come out and he would strike his hand over the place. That's laying on of hands. And that, that he would pray to his God. And he'd minister to me and I'd be healed of my leprosy. And he almost missed it completely because he thought too much. He said, surely I thought. You might be sitting here saying, surely I thought Richard Roberts would call out a word of knowledge. You had it all planned out. But it didn't happen. It happened a lot, but maybe for your situation, it didn't happen. Don't get miffed. Huh? Stay on God's side. Stay in faith. Another situation in Matthew 6, 7, the Bible says, actually, this is Jesus teaching. He said, don't be like the heathen. They pray long prayers, you know, and he said, they think they'll be heard for their much speaking. Do you realize that because they think that doesn't make it so? That if I pray, God will hear me? That's what I said whenever I said, you can think a certain way and think you're right, but miss God by 1,000 miles. Because our thinking's wrong. And we're convinced. Because that's what we've heard all our lives. Or that's what grandma said, or that's what, you know, I've always thought. That what I hold is gospel truth, you know. This is the way me and God think is exactly the same about everything. Well, there is a possibility that we're wrong on something. On our thinking. Hallelujah. So just because we think it's going to be a certain way doesn't make it so. Hallelujah. When we think it's going to be a certain way, God won't conform to our thinking. He tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. He's not going to come to our way of thinking. He asks us to come to His way of thinking. The Bible said over in Isaiah 55, He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. And He said, but my thoughts come down. And from heaven, you know, I send my thoughts down. How many of you know the word is His thoughts? People want to walk in unity with God, be in agreement with God, and receive everything He has. But to do so, you got to be in agreement with His word. His word are His thoughts. And how can you walk together unless you're agreed? He sent His thoughts down to us. I'm telling you, wash yourself in this book. Wash your thinking in this book. I remember somebody came to Gloria Copeland one time and said, I need a miracle quick. The doctors only gave me so much time. And they said, she said, then you better hurry up and get the word in you. People wait until they need faith to get faith. And too often, it's too late. It's not the time to get faith. The time that the teacher puts the test on your desk to mark the answers is not the time to get out your books and start studying for it. Too late. Amen? Wise people are ready all the time. Wise people go to church when they don't have to. Wise people, they're renewing their mind constantly, so they're ready for anything and equal to anything that the devil wants to throw at them. And I'm looking at a lot of wise people right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God won't conform to our thoughts. He asked us to come up. Come up. Come up. Receive. Come up and think my thoughts. Come up and believe what I said in my word. Come higher. Amen. The enemy will bring all kinds of things to try to keep you in your own ways of thinking. Well, praise God. Why is it that when something doesn't work the way we thought it should, frail and human imperfectness as we are in our thoughts and in our believing, our first choice is always, God let me down. At least a lot of folks, that's their first choice. Why? Because the devil's right there to tell you that. He's right there. He's perched. He wants you to believe God is unfaithful. Why? Because he wants to keep you from receiving. Sarah counted him faithful, so she entered into receiving. Let's not just make God is faithful a theological thing we corporately believe. Let's make it personal. Individual. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. God, I personally, individually call you faithful to me. Faithful to every one of your promises. Yes, we believe it all, but I believe it. I'm not judging you. I'm not going to speak against your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what this will do. It'll get you through the worst and hardest of times when you're not understanding what's going on. Hello? Things can be tough sometimes. And the toughest part can be we don't understand. Why? You know? And sometimes we might even have to look up through our tears and say, Father, there's a lot I don't understand right now. There's a lot going on. I don't know why this and why that. But one thing I'm not going to ask why is why you're not coming through. You are faithful. Help me to understand on my end. You know what this is? It's called humility. Hallelujah. 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 I might not understand everything, but I know that he's faithful. I know he'll never let me down. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible says that you may be justified when you are judged. God, when you are judged. Listen, when all the blasphemers are done, when all those that are angry and spewing out vile things against God are all done, and all the judgment is set, and everybody looks to see if God was faithful all the time to everybody, everybody will see he never perverted justice for one person. He never said no when his word said yes to one person. He never failed to come through for somebody believing him for healing once. When it all clears up, when the smog and fog of this life clears up, and we no longer see through a glass darkly, but we see face to face, we'll all fall on our knees and say, you are so faithful. You are so faithful. You are so faithful. Amen. Big men in God said things like, Paul said this. He said, we see through a glass darkly. Isn't that what he said? Paul said, I don't understand everything. There's some things I don't know. He had some things he knew. He wrote them. Thank God. They're the Word of God. We know the Word of God. But he had some things he said, I don't know all things. He's a big man in God. Brother Hagin made the statement. He said, there's so much that I don't know. He said, in fact, the more I learn, the more I see I don't know. If people like that say, "Ooh, boy, there's some things I don't know." How about, where does that leave us? If they only know in part, then some of us might only know part of the part of the part. When it comes to spiritual development, when it comes to how much through the eons we will develop and come to know, and because the Bible said the days coming where we'll know as we are known. When it comes to the eons where we keep on learning about God and all his ways and thoughts and faithfulness, when it comes to that, we are so young at the stage we're at right now. Well, I've been walking with God for 75 years. What's that on the eons of time? You keep walking with God, and even after this life, you'll go into learning, knowing more. Where are you going to be 1,000 years from now? You're going to look back on 2019 and go, boy, I was a child. And then 10,000 years, we'll look back on 1,000 years and go, poor child. Paul wrote to some churches one time, even John said it in 1 John. He said, and he started out talking to him, he said, my little children. God inspired him to write that. So in God's mind, that's not a figment of speech. We're little children. We got it, Daddy. We got it, Daddy. And we mess it all up. Well, Daddy, why? Come here, baby. Come here. Come here. You're not old enough. You're not don't understand yet. Somebody's attempting to believe God to receive their healing, and they, well, somebody said, what if they die? Well, how else would you want to die? Other than walking in all the light you have and endeavoring to do all you can. I'm not saying faith ever fails. Faith never fails. The Word never fails. God never fails. His faithfulness never fails. But I'm saying sometimes we fail to really make our connection and really understand what to do and how to receive. You understand? And so I'm not saying anybody dies trusting God to receive their healing. They just didn't know enough. I'm not saying that accusatively. We're all growing. We all are at different stages of growing. I'm going to give it my all and use all the faith I got and learn everything I can. You know, if the greatest healing revival preacher ever that lived died at 45 years old, had a heart attack, boop, croaked and goes and died, we should not change our doctrine. We should not say, well, God is unfaithful. God is not always. See, that's what happens sometimes. People change their doctrine and they go back to the sovereignty message. And they go back and they start saying things like, well, you know, it's not always God's will. We never can tell. And they change their doctrine. You're calling him unfaithful. By his stripes we were healed. You're saying he didn't mean what he said there. I'm not changing my doctrine. So I'm not saying faith fails, but I'm saying what if somebody who's endeavoring to do all they know to receive from God, receive their healing, and they don't receive, and what if they die and go to heaven? And by the way, that ain't bad at all anyway. I'm not wanting to go until I finish my course, but hey, I mean, this is a win-win thing here. I mean, get healed, finish my course, or die and go on to be with Jesus. So, anyway, but what if somebody doesn't receive and thought they were, and they come stand before the Lord, and they're standing there with all the faith that they had and all that they understood, and they say, Lord, I thought I was trusting you. He'll take them in and say, come here, baby. Give you a big hug. You were in all the light you had. I'm proud of you. Good job. Amen. Some of you looking at me real funny. Well, Lord, where did I not connect? Well, in 1,000 years, I'll tell you. You wouldn't understand it right now. Hallelujah. Go down to Brother Hagin's school and sit in it for a few years, and then we'll talk some more. Somebody said, nah, you wait. There's schools in heaven. Praise the Lord. I'm sure God's going to have some people in some schools before we come back riding with him on the white horse. Because if they don't go to school for a couple of years or something, they're going to come on that white horse and they're going to, boy, doesn't this just thrill you to death? You know, shut up, death. Get that death out of your mouth. So God will say, go to school a while before you come with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You getting anything out of this? Well, life's just not fair. Well, but God is. Nobody said life was fair. But God is. God's faithful. Hallelujah. Don't judge Him as being unfair just because it seemed like something unfair happened in your life. Well, where was God? Watch it. Watch it. Is that a question or an accusation? People assume that God just does anything for anyone at any time and that he's free to do anything he wants to at any time. He can't violate his own word. He will not violate his own word. Amen. Well, I'm on page 1.5 and I got 10. Seriously. Here's a good thought. We read Hebrews 11:11. We find Sarah counted. We read that and we think, yeah, as soon as God spoke, Sarah, she entered into faith and received and counted Him faithful. You read the whole story. She didn't start out that way. She started out laughing. She started out in total unbelief. Total unbelief. Aren't you glad that if you start out on the wrong road, you can catch yourself and go, no. Forgive me, Lord. I know I won't receive that way. But you can make the change. Aren't you glad that you can get past that just like Sarah got past that? Oh, thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His mercy. She received strength. Hallelujah. I believe the very moment she made that change, because somewhere along the line she had to make that change. We know how she started out. I believe at that very moment, strength came into her body. It matters how you judge God. Amen. And it's not wise to judge Him unfaithful. You're questioning His character. Hallelujah. Have the humility when you don't understand, have the humility to say, well, I guess there's some things I've got to learn. Now, when it comes to other people, God won't always tell you everything about other people. And personally, you ought to be glad about that. Because if He told everything to me about you, I don't know if I'm happy about that, because that means He'll tell everything about me to you. Or did I say that the same? Whatever. In other words, if you know what I meant. I don't want Him hanging out my dirty laundry out in front of you. So be glad He doesn't hang out your dirty laundry in front of everybody else. Well, why didn't they receive? He might say, Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret thing belongs to the Lord. I know a pastor years ago, wonderful pastor. I mean, if I went into more detail, some of you might even know who he is. God raising him up, mightily used of God, and even for this nation, but died suddenly at 50, couple early 50s. Years old, of a heart attack, just died over, killed over, graveyard dead. And a lot of people were like, oh my goodness, God was beginning to use him and so forth and so on. And the Lord spoke to Brother Hagin and said there was a reason. And then his wife started saying some things to Brother Hagin. How many of you know there's always a reason? Whether it's you, me, or the dog, there's always a reason. Because he is faithful. On his end, he's faithful. So there's just, with other people, there's things we can't go there. God won't always tell us. Brother Hagin talked about having it was his sister, actually. She died young with, I forget, 2 or 3 children. Died young, at a young age. And Brother Hagin had been, she died of a disease. Brother Hagin had been endeavoring to believe God for her and to pray the prayer of faith for her. And she just kept getting worse, and died. And Brother Hagin was seeking the Lord about it and said, why wasn't I able to pray the prayer of faith for her? And the Lord said, the Lord gave him a vision. And he was caught up to heaven. Actually, there was a lady that prophesied. Jeannie Wilkerson prophesied, you're getting ready to have an experience where God's going to catch you up and you're going to get some revelation. And this is when it happened. And he was caught up to heaven. And when he got to heaven, Jesus was standing talking to his sister. And I guess his sister's back was to Brother Hagin when he came up into heaven. And she saw Jesus looking at somebody, and she turned around and saw it was him. And she said, "Oh, Ken," see, that's not, he's not Brother Hagin to her, but called him Ken, Uncle Ken. "Oh, Ken," he said, or she said, "don't feel bad that you couldn't pray the prayer of faith for me." He said, "There's a reason." And the vision disappeared. And there was some other things that Brother Hagin said the Lord had spoken to him, said, "Don't entertain this again in your thought life." Before he had the experience, the Lord had spoken to him, "Don't entertain, there's a reason." There's a reason. Remember, the Bible talks about for this cause. But that's not for us to go around judging. Well, you know, something like, you know, "Well, everybody gets that disease is because of unforgiveness or something." You can't say that. You cannot say that. You cannot say that. That's wrong, judging people. But the Lord told Brother Hagin, "Don't entertain it in your thought life. Don't entertain it. Don't entertain it again." He said, "I'm not going to tell you because it's not. It's between me and her." Don't entertain it again in your thought life. Why you couldn't pray the prayer of faith? Well, see, when it comes to other people, God might not tell you everything. Now, when it comes to you, you have the right to know and understand some things, but you might have to grow before you get there. What alternative do you have? Quitting? Going back to the sovereignty doctrine that doesn't help anybody? Believing God just chooses randomly who He heals and who He doesn't? No. 1,000 times no. You know better than that. You've been too far down the road. Hallelujah. But don't do it in your heart either. And Brother Hagin said, I didn't entertain that thought in my mind for the rest of my days. He said, "I haven't been perfect in everything, but I was perfect in that. I would not entertain the thought." Aren't you glad God doesn't always tell everything? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, there's millions that don't receive the new birth, aren't there? Yet we don't stop preaching the new birth. There's many that don't receive healing. I'm not going to preach healing. Stop. I'm not going to stop preaching healings for all. Just like salvation's for all. Well, why don't everyone receive salvation? A lot of reasons. Different reasons. Same thing with healing. Tell your neighbor, it's the same thing with healing. Same thing with healing. Not going to stop preaching healing. Change our doctrine because we don't understand something. Let God be true and every man a liar. Isn't that right? Yeah, I'm going to keep on preaching it. And so, because we don't ascertain the will of God by somebody's experience. We ascertain the will of God by the Word of God. The lack of a Bible experience does not disprove the Bible. Yeah. Amen. 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 If you don't have a Bible experience, keep changing until you enter into it. Yeah. Yeah. Keep getting washed with the water of the Word. That's what local churches are all about. Yeah. Well, Pastor, I love the evangelist meeting coming in. Well, that's not all that there is for the believer. Thank God for the evangelists. And they're coming back in November. They just told me they set the date. Praise the Lord. And we love them and receive them because they have a vital supply. And we need that part of the body of Christ. But that's part of the body of Christ. The pastoral ministry is the main thing sheep need. They need to be fed. They need to be washed in the water of the Word. Get their minds renewed. Align their thoughts and their believing with the Word of God. Things will start working because they're walking in agreement. Amen. Any failures or just a failure to receive or a lack of understanding? And that's true about all of us. Don't look at me like I'm trying to look down my nose at you. I'm not. I've told you about times. I had a hernia operation, how many years ago? I said, "Lord," he said, "No, go get it cut out." He said, you've been giving yourself to the Word to preach and you haven't been building your own faith. Judge me if you want. But we'll come pray for you when you go through a hernia operation, you know. I think it's just best to leave each other alone. You know what I'm talking about? Wherever you are in faith, I'll hook up with you. Wherever you are. Don't try to get people to come up where you are. Meet them where they are. Meet them where they are. Do you know somebody can be at a lesser place than you and receive on a lower level and please God fully? Because they have come so far. And they're walking in all the light they have. Well, I got more light. Yeah, why don't you walk in it? We expect you to have to receive on a higher level. But don't look down your nose at anybody else. Amen. Well, anyway. Well, I don't understand why they don't. Well, you do now. You've been in the service. Praise God. Stay humble. Hallelujah. Yeah, help them through it. Join up with where they are. You can ask the Lord why, but just do it with humility and teachableness, not accusatively towards Him and so forth and so on. Praise God, praise God, praise God. But the enemy will come when it comes back to judging God. Let's wrap this up. When it comes to judging God and something didn't work out the way you thought, the enemy will come and he'll make all sorts of accusations, and he will bring thoughts sometimes and feelings and make you just feel like God let you down. Feel like it's over, you know. But that doesn't make it reality. A month ago, when we were talking about God is righteous. He never perverts justice. I don't know if you remember that service. This is really hooking on to that. But we shared a couple of verses that talks about He always does what's right and what's fair. There are verse after verse after verse like that. So trusting Him, He never fails. Amen? You can make the choice. You can make the choice and say, I'm not going to judge God unfaithful. It's not a feeling, it's a choice. It's a choice. Amen. You might say it through your tears. You might say it not understanding everything, but you can make the choice. Lord, I'm not going to judge you as unfaithful. You need to make that choice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe that throughout eternity, we're going to see more and more and more and understand fully. That doesn't mean that we can't all receive God's best down here in this life. It's just that we have to keep washing ourselves in the water of the Word. Amen? The devil hates people walking in faith. So he does everything he can to accuse God's character. He accuses you to God and God to you and accuses you and accuses God. And he's just the accuser, 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 accuser. And he tries to get you to side in against God. Don't fall for it. It's a trap. It's a trap to keep you out of faith. Amen? Well, I thought. Yeah, I know. I know. We all have thought. We all have thoughts. Amen? Have the humility to acknowledge you might have come up short somewhere. And just don't blame Him. Hallelujah? A lot of people know just enough about faith to be dangerous. Phew. Whoa. I mean, they hear one or two sermons and they run out and think they're all that in a bag of chips. Boy, some people, they're harebrained with their faith, you know? And it's not really faith at all. And they get all heartbroken when things don't work out, but they should have sat in church a little longer. Well, that didn't work out, so I'm going to go look for something else. What do you got better? The sovereignty idea? Come on. No, faith didn't fail. God didn't fail. You failed. You just didn't understand. Now, it's no wonder a lot of people don't want to do this because it takes effort to walk by faith. I'm almost done. People prefer to leave things just up to God. It's just the sovereignty of God. Because that takes all the responsibility off of you and me. It requires no spiritual effort on their behalf. They leave it up to Him, saying it's all God's mysterious plan that He's working out, you know. Maybe He wanted that person to die so that their child would learn to know Him better. That is bunk. And if you want to know what else I think about it, talk to me after church when I'm not saying it in public. That's right. It's a pile of steaming hot stuff. That's all. That's not revelation. That's reasoning. That's men's ideas. It's trying to figure out things with the natural mind that people that don't have any revelation of the Word of God. I've had enough reasoning to people say the craziest things. We think, well, we've all heard faith. Just step outside of these doors and people say the stupidest things about God. That's why we keep preaching it. I might have heard it 1,000 times, but I'm going to keep preaching it because somebody hadn't heard it yet. Somebody still needs to hear this. Hallelujah. But people, they want to just accuse God and say it's His mysterious plan somehow. And it never could. They never think about the fact maybe they didn't step up and do their part here. They lack things that require nothing of them. And listen, people tend to go to churches with people who share their same commitment level. But because if somebody's commitment level is higher than theirs, then it brings conviction. So I got to decide if I want to be more committed or live at where I am, and I don't want to sometimes go any further and learn more and do my part and learn to trust and believe God and learn His word. I want to stay where I am. And so I'll go over here to the first church of the uncommitted. Amen. What God has, the revelation of faith, what God has given us when it comes to the revelation of faith requires a lot more out of us. Amen. More than most people are ready to receive. They like the watered down kind of preaching. But the problem is they keep experiencing failure after failure after failure with nothing to stop it. Nothing to break that thing and to live in victory. That's not good enough for me. It never has been good enough for me. Even as a young boy, that wasn't good enough for me. My teenage years, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. Than being tormented like I'm tormented right now and calling myself saved, which I was saved and going to heaven. But there's got to be more than living in defeat. So I started seeking and hungering, and God brought me to the answer. And He's not wanting that answer kept to me, us to keep this answer to ourselves. He wants that word to get to everybody. Hallelujah. Praise God. We know better than to say God is, you know, just sovereignly do all these things and it's all His fault if somebody doesn't get healed. Amen. But if we harbor ill will towards God because something didn't work out, it's a dead end street. Well, that's the message I had this morning.